evening. Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We are ready to begin our Monday Manna Bible study, and we hope that you are ready too. We're wrapping up the Song of Solomon, so come on in and join us tonight.
Well, we do praise God for each of you tonight, and we thank God for this day, and we're certainly grateful for all that he's done and all that he's doing and all that he will do. And even as we, as Lady Kim indicated, prepare to close out this eighth chapter of Song of Solomon, we've had an interesting time in going through these eight chapters. And I tell you, it's been a powerful time in just kind of seeing how all of this ties in with what we are all about as the church today. And we praise God for each of you. Let us know the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for tonight. We're in the eighth chapter. We did the first few verses of that eighth chapter on last week. And tonight we're going to go ahead and close out. I believe there are about 14 verses. And I believe we did, how many verses last week, Lady
Kim? We did seven last week, so we'll start with eight.
Okay, and so we maybe do a little refresher because it shouldn't take us very long to go through those last seven verses. Would you agree with me on
that?
That's
correct.
All right, well, let's go ahead and prepare to get started. Let us know you're getting a good signal, those of you who are on. We have different platforms here tonight, and we want to make sure that everyone is getting a clear signal. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you again for this day and thank you for our lives and for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for keeping us all day long. And here we are preparing now to study your word. You said in your word that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so God, we decree even tonight that we will see clearly in the direction in which you would have us to go. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We pray that someone will be encouraged by this study tonight,
yes,
that someone will be better as a result, and that our faith will increase. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God. All right, Lady Kim, well, this is the eighth chapter, Song of Solomon. There are only 14 verses for those of you just joining us. And we've covered half of that already last week. And so we want to talk a little bit about what happened on yesterday and in our worship experience. And of course, many of us, all of us, no doubt, were coming in off of the Thanksgiving weekend. We had the opportunity to spend time with family in Chicago, the outside of Chicago, what is it, Park Forest, that's right, and just kind of got a chance to mingle a little bit. I think that was our first trip up since COVID, right?
Since COVID, yes.
And so it was,
good,
yeah. It was a good fellowship and good food, family and friends, and just had an opportunity, enjoy good weather, going up and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We made it back in here safe and sound Saturday and got ready for worship on Sunday. But tell us a little bit about the service on yesterday, Lady Kim, and then the highlights. I know it was a busy day for you as you were moving about and trying to handle three or four different things and juggling them all at the same time. So tell us a little bit about what happened yesterday.
Yeah, as you stated, you continued with Make Room for Your Harvest,
mm-hmm.
and it was part three. Coming from Matthew, the ninth chapter, verses 35 through 38, where it says how Jesus went through the city and villages, and he was teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was healing people of all their diseases and afflictions.
Mm-hmm.
But when he saw the crowds, the Bible said he had compassion for them because they were helpless, he said, like a sheep without a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to his disciples, when he looked on that crowd, he said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, and he told this to his disciples, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Okay.
And so you had 3 points, a couple of them that you really dealt with in parts one and part two, and the last one in part three. But first of all, you said you must see it. You must see your harvest. You must envision your harvest. Sometimes, you know, we go through life and we don't see the very thing that's in front of us. You know, people used to say, I used to say old people used to say, but now that I'm old people, I just say people used to say. People used to say you can't see the forest for the trees.
Okay.
You know, you can't see all the you can't see the big picture. You're only looking at one or two things in front of you. So you have to envision or see the harvest. You have to understand that there is a harvest out there to be harvested. You know, you just can't look at one particular thing. And then you talked about you must identify with it. You know, Jesus had a healing ministry of laying on of hands.
That's right.
And you have to stay focused and do what God has called you to do, meeting the needs of people. So you have to identify with that harvest. What I mean by identify with the needs. That's what Jesus did. He focused on the needs of the people. And that's why he said that the harvest is plentiful or plenteous, but the laborers are few. He saw the harvest. He identified with their needs. And then your last point was you must go get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to go after the harvest. And he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that the Lord would send more laborers into the vineyard. And so you have to go get it. Once you see it, you got to go get it. It's not going to come to you. And I think one of the points that you made yesterday is that, you know, as Christians, as church people, we have to go into the harvest. We have to go into the vineyard and get the harvest. The harvest is not going to come to us. That's just like growing grapes in a vineyard and expecting the wine to come and sit on your table.
Okay.
No,
okay.
You got some work to do. You got to go in there. You got to pick the grapes. I don't know how they make wine, but I know they got to press the juice out of the grapes. The grapes have to be fermented. So there is work to be done. So it is with us as Christians. You know, we have to see it. We have to identify with it. And then we got to go get it.
Okay. That's great, Lady Kim. You, as much as you were doing yesterday, you really summarized that quite well, because you had a lot of moving parts, particularly that happened during the worship and right almost before the sermon. But that's a great recap. I don't see a part four in the horizon because I think we've really went back and covered everything that mm-hmm. needs to be covered in that
Absolutely.
Passage. But one of the keys here is that we have to see what Jesus saw. He saw people that were hurting. And many times we want to try to see some things based upon what we see and not in the spirit.
Okay.
We want to see it in the natural. But if our focus is on trying to see what Jesus saw and then feel what he felt and then go after what he went after. And I lifted up that whole piece about evangelism, and you just made reference to it, that how important that is. And sometimes we lose sight of that we think that everything is just going to automatically come to us, but we got to go get it. We got to get out there. All of us have a story to tell, a charge to keep, and a God to glorify. And God has blessed us to be a blessing. We're saved to do some saving, and we're loved by God so that we might love somebody else. And so we all have a witness and a testimony to share, and it's important that we don't sit back and allow just hoping that people will come, but we have to put forth the effort and the work, as you said, has to be there. And then we have to earnestly and seriously and fervently pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And so one of the things that we did week before was stop and ask people to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes we omit that and we take it for granted that that's going to just happen. Mm-hmm. But we have to, that has to be a part of our prayer life. So we have to step up our prayer game in terms of making sure that that's a part of what we include in our request to God, and be intentional and deliberate about that, because it's not just going to happen because we have opened the doors at 3939 Riverdale and we expect people to just come in. No, we got to go get them. We got to go get them, and they are out there. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I think you talked about a couple of weeks ago how many times it's the same people that continue to do the majority of the work. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people, and I'm going to make a couple of visits this week. The Lord laid on my heart a couple of people to go see, and I just believe that as a result of us praying to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, then after we get off of our knees, after we have prayed, then we have to kick our faith into action.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. And so we have to make sure that we are not just sit back in splendor isolation after we have prayed, but no, that's time for us to go to work. And so I praise God for the increase and the baptisms that happened on yesterday. And we had quite a few visitors, and they some of them that I had a chance to talk to seemed to express an interest in coming back and being a part of the worship experience. And same was true the Sunday before. And we have to make sure that we're intentional about that, and that we treat people the way we want to be treated, and that we love people where they are. We don't try to be all uppity and have attitude or a certain air about ourselves because we have been saved for a while. But you remember when you were struggling?
Amen.
You remember when you were going through, mm-hmm. when you were not where you are right now?
Yes.
If it had not been for the Lord on our sides, somebody tell me, where would we be? And so we have to have the same kind of compassion. That's what Jesus had. The Bible says he had compassion on them, because when he looked out, he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd.
Yes.
And so we too have to have that kind of compassion. We have to see that need, and then we have to identify with the need, and then we have to go get them.
Amen. And another thing you said, that evil will threaten our harvest.
That's right. That's
right. A lot of times we forget that evil will threaten us. We think we're going along so good, and we're so good, and doing so, we're so fine, and we're so holy, and we're so spiritual that we can't be touched.
Right.
But evil can threaten our harvest.
That's right. That's right.
Simply for the fact that the enemy does not want us to prosper.
That's right.
The enemy does not want us to be successful. The enemy does not want our vineyards to be healthy.
That's right.
The enemy does not want new people in the kingdom. So the enemy, expect the enemy to come against you. But the one thing that you can do, you know, is like you said, is to pray to the Lord of the harvest. I think that's when you said that we needed to pray to mm-hmm, the Lord of the mm-hmm, harvest. Mm-hmm. It's a necessary work.
That's right.
And there's a great problem, you know. People know about God, but they refuse to yield to God's voice.
That's right.
They refuse to yield to God's voice. So we have to continuously remind them that hell is smoking and God ain't
uh-oh,
joking.
Watch out. Watch out, Reverend. I felt something when you said that. I felt anointed in the house. But no, we praise God for each of you. And it's really, it's not a certain amount of sermons that you can preach or lessons that you can teach. It has to be a lifestyle. We
Amen.
Have to move from process to practice.
Yes.
We have to move from just obtaining a lot of information and not
yes.
doing anything with it, because the Bible says that we not only need to be hearers of the word, but we need to be doers of the word. So you have to step out on what you already know.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes we wait to gain a wealth of information and a wealth of knowledge before we decide that it's time to step out. But I preached a sermon back, years ago, and that just kind of flashed in my spirit. Once you step out, watch God step in.
And
so you
got
to step out. And God is waiting on us, you know. And I think when you look at that in the natural, I think there's a saying, if you take one step, God will
take two.
Mm-hmm. And so God wants us to have the kind of faith where once we have received the word, once we are energized by the Spirit, then we have to activate what we have received and get busy for the kingdom. Isn't that right?
That's right. When you said activate, I thought about that
that
thing out there on Facebook where mm-hmm. the lady said, Holy Spirit, activate.
All right.
Holy Spirit, activate.
That's good.
Yeah, you got to activate.
So put that spirit into action.
Yes, activate
and
the spirit of God.
And so here's what I want everyone to do, even tonight. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, that's God, that he will send forth laborers into the vineyard, into the harvest. And if you're not doing all that you should be doing, this is a great time to reevaluate, reassess, count, just look at what you've already done. And then start making changes, because sometimes people wait till they think it's an appropriate time, like the first of the year and things of that nature. But no, this is time. When you hear God's voice, harden not your heart and go ahead and respond while you have a chance. Because guess what? Tomorrow is not promised.
That's right.
This evening, the rest of the evening
That's
is not
right.
promised. Do what you can.
Do what you can.
While you can. And do it to the glory and honor of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just believe, Lady Kim, as a result of us, particularly those of us who gather around this word on a regular basis, that we incorporate into our prayer life, praying to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth more laborers into the vineyard. Can y'all do that for me?
Amen.
If I can get about five or
yes.
six people who would touch and
yes.
agree and believe God for the harvest and believe God for more workers, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to work. People don't want to work, you know, but we need some foot soldiers.
Amen.
We need some people who are willing to get out there and do the work
mm-hmm.
that God has called forth for us to
mm-hmm.
do.
And, you know, one of the things I think, and I think this sermon is such a powerful reminder, is because people don't often remember that the vineyard needs laborers.
That's right. That's right.
They, you know, we come to church, we get a good word, we hear good singing, we feel good, we go back home, and then we don't think about
mm-hmm.
the work, the great work that
That's
is
right.
to be done.
That's right.
And so we say, oh, didn't we have a great time at church on Sunday? But we don't think about there's work that goes into even just the preparation of having a worship service.
That's right, that's right.
There's work to be done. We just don't show up on Sunday morning and the cameras start rolling,
mm-hmm.
or we don't just get up and start doing things. It takes preparation. It takes work. It takes time. And we need help. We need foot soldiers. We need people in the kitchen. We need ushers on the door. We need people in the choir. We need greeters in on the doors. We need people to help with our youth. We need people to help with the feeding ministry. We need all kinds
children's
of people.
Ministry,
people in the children's ministry.
Men's ministry.
We need people to drive the bus.
That's right. Call the roll, Lady Kim.
We need people. We need people to for the congregational care, to make phone calls, to check on people. We
That's right.
need people to help. We need laborers in our vineyard.
Well, Lady Kim, I think you really touched on something very significant there, because this is not a message for us to put on the shelf and then just pick it up sometimes next year and all of that. No, this is a living word, and it's a word that needs to take place in our lives even now. And so if the Lord has impressed in your spirit, and we're lingering a little longer than we had anticipated, but if the Lord has impressed in your spirit, what was that?
I didn't know realize what time it was.
If the Lord has impressed in your spirit to get busy, and you know that you have gifts that you can be using, and you're not using them, then I decree and I declare that God will not allow you he's going to allow you to be restless until you surrender and say, God, I'm tired of flogging. I'm tired of acting one way and not doing what I'm supposed to do. But I speak over your life even tonight.
Amen.
That God is going to allow you to come forth and use your gift to the glory and honor of God, and that you're going to be one of those laborers that we have been praying about. And sometimes they're right among us. They're not outside. Many times they're inside the house.
Amen.
And so that's our prayer even tonight. And I'll see what the Lord says as we are in a season of Advent, a time of preparation and anticipation, waiting for the return of Christ. And so we have to we have to really be serious about that, because he's coming back.
Yes, he is.
And people take that for granted. They don't believe the Lord is coming back. No, he's coming back. He's coming back for his church. And we have to be ready when he comes. No man knoweth the hour or the time when he shall appear, but we all need to be ready when he comes.
Amen. Amen.
Now, one more thing, Lady Kim, and we'll probably spend the last 30 minutes on our lesson, is that I praise God for how we've gone through 16 weeks of our leadership training.
Amen.
And how that has been a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ called ATOP, and how we've had some 28, 30 people to complete the 16 weeks stewardship, discipleship, leadership, and evangelism. And I keep throwing that evangelism. It's really outreach. But we're having a workshop this Saturday. And those who are part of the Institute, they will get information from Dr. Qualley Seymour in terms of what will happen on Saturday. But it's faith in action. And we're going to go out and we're going to reach out beyond the walls of ATOP. And we're going to serve and we're going to sing. We're going to preach and we're going to fellowship and just be present for people, because people are hurting. And that's all a part of that message in Matthew 9, how people are like sheep without a shepherd, and we need to have compassion on them. But I praise God for each of the leaders who have gone through that process, and we're getting ready to start what do we call our interviews?
Kingdom. Kingdom Conference. Kingdom.
That's a real dead spot right there.
You made me draw
confirmation. Is it Kingdom Confirmation
Conference.
Interviews.
Yes.
Yeah, Kingdom Confirmation interviews. And we're getting ready to start those on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And so we're matching people up with their gifts. And I'm excited about the people who are going to come forth. Dr. Qualley's put it on there, Kingdom Confirmation interviews. And so we're looking forward to that, and how God is going to really pull everything together. Dr. Butler is confirming that as well. God is going to pull things together, and it's not coincidental or accidental, but it's providential that God would have us to go through this time together. And I just see new leaders emerging and coming forth as we move into the remaining of this year, and then getting ready to step into the new year, 2023.
Amen.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you. We were doing a little recap today from the worship experience, and then from our institute, and some things that have happened in the life of the church. And God has been faithful and has shown himself strong on our behalf, and we yet give him praise. And one of the things we want to do now in this eighth chapter of the Song of Solomon, we've already covered the first seven verses, and we're going to read these latter verses, last seven verses. But we see here, Lady Kim, it's really a combination of things that are happening. And really, it's kind of a cycle that is just being repeated over and over again.
Okay.
But it's a different kind of arrangement and, I guess, variations that happen in the life of these eight chapters, where we see Solomon and this Shulamite, his Shulamite bride, as they are coming to a close in this eighth chapter, and their relationship and their consummation of that relationship. But one of the writers, one of the authors said, as I was looking, he said that one of the ways you can really kind of describe what has happened in the Song of Solomon is it's like a various cycle that might be likened to a series of paintings at an art gallery, where one man exhibits his paintings and he has it mounted, and all of the pictures perhaps have similar style and mood and stemming from a single artist, and each one of them has different variations to the set and the sub-themes. And as you move from one picture to the other, you recognize the same underlying patterns that occur throughout all of those particular paintings if you're going through an art gallery.
Okay.
And you'll see that there's some similarity to what you, the first picture that you had the opportunity to see, versus what you see when you get to that eighth picture, and you'll see how there's some kind of
thread
that ties them all together.
Yeah,
and
I
so
see that.
What you'll see with this particular book, it's a love story. It's a song, and it's really tying and weaving, going back and forth, but it's all coming together at the end and making one beautiful picture as you get to the close of this eighth chapter.
Amen. Amen.
And so we just kind of covered a lot, but I think last week you lifted up those first seven verses, and we saw the longing for intimacy, and then we saw how there was security of love, and also how the love arousal began to take place in around that fifth verse. And then in the sixth and seventh verses, we saw love strong as death. That's kind of what the author described it. And then we'll see in these latter few verses some more powerful examples of how Solomon and this Shulamite, they are expressing their love for each other, and how others are coming and then being a part of bringing this to a close.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you want to go ahead and maybe read verses 7 through 14? Is that where we left off, right?
We did. And it's kind of a strange place, I guess.
You want to start at the beginning and read all the way through?
I think that would help tie it all together.
Okay.
Instead of just jumping in the middle.
All right.
So we're in the eighth chapter in the Song of Solomon, beginning with verse 1. Oh, that you were like a brother to me who nursed at my mother's breast. If I found you outside, I would kiss you, and none would despise me. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, she who used to teach me. I would give you spiced wine to drink, the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Who is that coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Under the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother was in labor with you.
Mm-hmm.
There she who bore you was in labor. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love. neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. We have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken of? If she is a wall, we will build on her battlement of silver. But if she is a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I was a wall, and my breasts were like towers. Then I was in his eyes as one who found peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal-hamon. He let out the vineyard to keepers. Each one was to bring for its fruit 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, my very own, is before me. You, O Solomon, may have 1,000, and the keepers of the fruit 200. O you who dwell in the gardens with companions listening for your voice, let me hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices.
Okay, all right. There's a lot there, isn't it?
Yes.
And so it's interesting how we close out this time in terms of just kind of seeing that flow again, how all of these themes are really coming together, and how Solomon and the Shulamite, they are actually expressing their love over and over and over again for each other. And then we see others being able to witness just how strong their love is. And I know you've oftentimes used the commentary to see how all of that relates to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us to understand that God's love is being expressed toward us the same way. It's a constant thread that we'll see in terms of the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God being extended toward us, even in our waywardness, even in our selfishness, even when we have not done everything that we should do. God continues to extend grace and mercy for us. And morning by morning, the Bible says, new mercies that we see. And so it's evident that God is, he's a God of love. He's a God of mercy.
Yes,
he's a God of compassion.
We
he's a God who's willing to look beyond our faults and get right to our needs.
Amen.
But we don't need to use that as an excuse for us not doing what we are called to do as believers.
That's right.
And so we have a right, we have a reason, and we have a responsibility.
Yes.
To give God praise, and we have to activate our faith in such a way that it brings glory and honor to God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, activate.
activate. I know, right? So what do you see here, Lady Kim? Anything as it relates to, in addition to what I've already shared about how it all ties in with the church?
Well, you know, we're picking it up at really verse 8,
mm-hmm.
when the bride continues to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The present church speaks of another future church.
Okay.
Consisting of the Gentiles.
Okay.
She is a little younger sister, and calls her sister once a stranger to him. She believed the Gentile church should be admitted to the participation of the same privileges with that of the Jews. She has not grown fully, no full bust, and not of marriage age,
mm-hmm.
not grown up as the Gentiles had not yet grown. What they will do with the sister is teach her how to perform the duty promoting coming to Christ.
Okay.
Rejoicing. That's not envying and helping her to mature.
Mm-hmm.
She will be spoken for even going into the state of matrimony.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, also others also speak of the conversion of the Gentiles. So in other words, you know, we know that the original church the original people or the chosen people are the Jews, let's say that.
Okay, all right.
is the Jewish race. And the Gentiles, because of Christ's coming, are now engrafted into the kingdom.
Okay.
And so they're speaking of this younger woman, this younger sister, so to speak, as a Gentile.
Okay.
Coming, that bringing her into the knowledge of Christ, or grooming her so that she can come to know her love.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And they're willing to invest and take time, and you can really look at that and it relates to us being mentors to those who come in, and not just assume that they are where they need to be. And many times people are nervous and they are anxious, but they are immature.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to work with people and help them get to a place of maturity
mm-hmm.
in the faith.
Amen.
And so I think that's part of what is happening here as they make this analogy with the little sister. And so it is with those who come in to the faith. And it's not based on their age.
Right.
It's based on their maturity.
Yes.
And those of us who have been around for a while, we ought not be a stumbling block to them, but we ought to be a hand to help them
yes.
get to the place. And never should we forget where we once were and how the Lord has worked with us. I think sometimes, Lady Kim, we are found guilty of forgetting how far the Lord has brought us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see somebody else who's struggling and trying to make sense of everything, and we handle them as if they ought to know better. They should mm-hmm. be much further along. But we need to remember
from whence we've come,
because
that's
we weren't always where we are now. And some of us lose sight of that.
Amen.
As we grow in the faith.
Mm-hmm. And you know, another side, a flip side to that is that sometimes we look at people and we think spiritually that they're farther along than what they really
mm-hmm,
are.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they make a mistake or they fall short, then we kind of get discouraged because we think that person should have known better,
right,
or should have handled a situation differently, because we view them on such a high spiritual plane.
That's right. That's right.
But we have to remember that we all sin and fall short of God's glory, and we're not all where we should be.
That's right. That's
right.
You
know, but praise God, we're not where we used to be.
Glory
or what
God.
We used to
glory
be.
God.
But each of us are making our way, and we have to be patient with one another. We have to love one another through our faults and through our failures.
Mm-hmm.
We have to embrace and hold each other up and hold each other accountable.
Okay, all right. You're raising your voice right there, Reverend. You got a little excited, so I thought you was going to go ahead and take
and
a take.
Huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, not yet.
All right, but that's right. You're right. Mm-hmm. And that's back to that same passage that we looked at in Matthew 9.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have compassion.
Yes.
We've got to love people into the kingdom. We
yes.
can't just push and rush them.
Mm-hmm.
We got to spend time with them. We have what you might call baby Christians
yes.
all around us.
Yes.
And those of us who are seasoned in the faith have to take time out to make sure that we nurture them in such a way.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Never forget from whence we've come, because Amen. Some of us were wretches. Roaches undone.
Roaches undone?
Wretches. Wretch.
And you know what? You were talking about baby Christians. Some people can't stand to hear kids whine
right.
or babies cry. You know, but we have to, like patient parents,
mm-hmm.
be able to support baby Christians.
Okay.
Because
okay.
they're going to whine, they're going to cry, they're going to complain, but we have to show them an alternate way.
Okay.
We have to show them another way. And so it is with, in this eighth verse, you know, we have to train the little sister.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, mm-hmm. how to grow in God's grace and love.
That's good.
So sometimes that means tolerating a little whining and crying,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, but we can say, yeah, you feel this way, but look at it this way.
Right, right. And I think even as we prepare to close out tonight, Lady Kim, and I want to encourage those of you who have comments, you can go ahead and put them in the box, or if they're prayer requests, you can go ahead and do that as well. But you'll see here as we prepare to close out that he starts talking about the vineyard that's not for hire. And I think there are two comparisons of two different vineyards, that of Solomon and that of the Shulamite.
Yes.
And how we see that coming into play here in these latter verses. We're in the 8th chapter of the Song of Solomon, and we're just kind of going through this particular time together, just rehearsing and reviewing those. But in the latter few verses, I think around verses 8, 13 and 14, we see here that two vineyards are contrast. And on the one hand, Solomon's vineyard was hired out for money, and the Shulamite's vineyard, on the other hand, is not up for sale. And so he uses that. It's kind of a play on words here. And if you don't mind, Lady Kim, reading verses, start at verse number 11 and then read down through 14 again if you still have that available, because I think he's using the analogy here to see that the Shulamite's vineyard was not for sale. Her love cannot be bought or sold. And that's where he's kind of trying to make that that comparison there when he talks about that.
Okay, the 11th verse of the 8th chapter. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard to keepers. Each one was to bring for its fruit 1,000 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
My vineyard, my very own, is before me. You, O Solomon, may have the 1,000 mm-hmm. and the keepers of the fruit 200.
Okay.
O you who dwell in the gardens with companions, listen for your voice. Let me hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle, a young stag on the mountains of spices.
Okay, so Solomon's vineyard was for sale, and he had hired out people, and they were actually making money as a result of that. The vineyard was hired out for money,
mm-hmm.
and we saw that coming out there. But he uses the comparison of the second vineyard mm-hmm. as he talks about how it's the girl's vineyard, on the other hand, and it's not for sale. And her love cannot be bought or sold. And so this is really a continuing cycle that we see coming forth and being expressed here as we look at these latter few verses in the 8th chapter of the Song of Solomon, and how important it is for us to realize that there are some things that money can't buy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that God has to really make sure that you have vested interest, and that you understand the worth of what he has done for you. And it's not for sale. Grace is not for sale. His power, his anointing is not for sale. People sometimes try to buy their way into the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
but you can't do that, Lady Kim. And so I think part of that is tying in with, as it relates to the church here in these latter few verses. I believe we're getting quite a few prayer requests coming in. And at the end of this 8th chapter, it's somewhat a double meaning here as we look at the latter few verses. But all of the themes here have appeared previously in the 7 chapters that we've already covered. But this is kind of an awkward ending to this particular chapter and this book, but it's representing, one author says, it represents the ebbs and the flows of a love relationship,
mm-hmm.
and how many times we want to see consistency, and we don't want any bumps or bruises along the way. But in this life, we will have trials
and tribulations.
In relationships,
yes, Lord.
There are going to be situations where it's not going to always be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always going to be one way. There are going to be times where there's going to be a major interruption to see if you really believe or in what you say you are and what you're all about. And I say oftentimes, Lady Kim, that a faith that's not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Somebody ought to type that in. I felt something right there. I said, a faith that's not tested is one that cannot be trusted. And see, God wants to know, can he trust you? And so many times we don't want our faith to be tested. We want everything to be smooth sailing. We want everything to go a certain way. But no, sometimes you're going to have to go through a test. You're going to have to go through some trials. You're going to have to go through some difficulties in order to strengthen your faith, in order to develop who God would have you to be, in order to be strong, because each victory will help you some other to win.
That's right.
And so it's not over just because you've overcome one situation and you've gotten that behind you. But no, that's for you to build upon and for you to continue to grow and develop and mature, so that when you see somebody coming down that path or see somebody going down that way, then you have a word that is a fresh word. It's a seasonal word that you can share with them to encourage them and give them the hope that they need to continue to trust God even when times are difficult.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have to hold on to God's unchanging hand.
That's right.
Yes, I remember that song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have any comments there, or you want to go right to the
Well,
request?
We just have several prayer requests, and then, you know, people are just amen in what you're saying, that faith that is not tested cannot be trusted,
you know,
and that we have to be reminded that that even though we go through life and we're Christians, we're not going to have a flowery bed of roses.
Mm-hmm.
That there are going to be some thorns.
That's right.
In the bushes.
Okay.
And sometimes we're going to be snagged by those thorns. Sometimes we're going to have to be careful how we move, because there's not going to be a clear-cut path. But we know that if we continue to move, God will make a way out of no way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to continue to go forward.
Okay. And that's going to lead us right into what we're going to talk a little bit about in terms of relationships. Because, you know, people really have questions, and they're struggling and they're straining and just trying to make sense of a relationship. But you don't get into a relationship looking for a way to get out of it.
That's right.
You have to stay focused. I mean, it's going to be some situations, you know.
Yeah. And, nope. You know, some people go into relationships like that.
That's
but we're
right.
going to talk about that soon.
Right, yeah. Right. But that's where we're going to go, because we're ahead of the game. We were expected to close this out right before Christmas. So we'll have probably a couple of sessions that we can really kind of just nail down some common sense spiritual handles on relationships.
Okay.
Because we've been at it for a minute, and
we have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Haven't we?
We have.
Okay. All right. What was that? I don't understand.
No, we have. I was just playing.
You was what?
I was just
Speak
playing.
Up. You got you did your people looking at you.
I was just kidding. I was just kidding. I'm not gonna do that because you know.
Oh, boy.
I was just kidding, you guys.
Yeah. But no, seriously though, we do have a lot of wisdom that we can impart based upon our own experience, but we have a basis for what we share, because it's all wrapped up and tied up into the Word, and it's a spiritual application that we circle everything that we have experienced and everything that we've gone through. Praise God, both of us came in to the faith at an early age, and we grew together in a real sense. But some couples, some people are a little bit more mature than others in the faith.
Yes.
And many times people will use that to their advantage and try to lord over somebody, mm-hmm. because they are not seasoned or mature.
At a spiritual level.
Right.
Spiritual level.
And that happens even in the church. And that's why we have to be mindful of where people are when they come in. And we have to work with them and encourage them and handle them in such a way that they know that you are real, and they know they can sense that in the way that you deal with them.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right.
Okay, well, our time has really gotten away from us tonight, but this has been a good time of study as we've closing out this eighth chapter, and we're going to start on our relationship. Well, we're going to start next week. Is that a good time for us to start, Lady
yes,
Kim?
Okay. It will be.
And I know many, a couple of people asked about the five love languages and all of that, but we'll just kind of look at what we're going to do, and we'll talk about in connection with how the Song of Solomon is a love book, and it's a song, it's a love song,
yes,
and how we can relate that to relationships and some of the do's and don'ts, or some of the ups and downs. Some we hadn't really put a tag on this, but some of the things that we can be mindful of. And then if you have questions, by all means, we want to entertain those. I think it's going to be an exciting another couple of weeks that we, as we jump into that relationship aspect of you know, relationships with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. You had some more requests there, Lady Kim?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and lift up those requests, and we prepare to close out tonight. We have a good audience tonight, and we praise God for each of you on all of our different platforms. We have two different platforms that's really, it's three really, that's going out when we study. And many times we cannot see all of the comments. Several people had texted me tonight as they were on the, I guess they were on the streaming side.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing the Facebook Live side. And so we praise God for each of you. And we thank God for his presence even tonight as we've shared through this eighth chapter of the Song of Solomon.
Amen. Well, we can begin lifting up our prayer concerns because they are they're lengthy tonight.
Okay.
First of all, we want to lift up the family of Sister Theron C.
Mm-hmm.
in the loss of her sister-in-law. Her sister-in-law passed away, leaving three children behind.
Wow.
48 years old. So we will most definitely be lifting up the C family. And we also want to lift up the Lifford family, Stanley
mm-hmm.
Lifford, and the loss of his father on Thanksgiving Day. His father made his transition to be with the Lord. And that funeral will be this coming Saturday at the Healing Cathedral on Elvis Presley at 12 noon. So we hope some of our members can support Brother Stanley Lifford and Sister Pat in the passing of his father. We want to lift up Lawrence Roberts, who's having surgery on Friday.
Okay.
We want to lift up Sister Sandra Jones, who continues to heal. We want to lift up Bessie Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Her house burned, and her husband tried to commit suicide right before Thanksgiving. So we know the devil is busy, but we know the power of God is mightier than that.
That's right.
We want to lift up Eddie and Dorothy Foster. That is the stepfather and the mother of Brother Robert Jefferson. Lift them up. We want to lift up my brother, Michael Jones,
mm-hmm.
In the situation in his home. We want to lift up my sister, Portia Harper, as she is traveling. We want to lift up Gloria Palmer, my sister-in-law and Pastor Murray's sister,
mm-hmm.
Caring for her son, Anthony Hanley. And she really needs some assistance. And so we've been praying mightily for her to get some help to help her care for him. We want to lift up Anthony Hanley as he continues to gain strength and get his mobility back. And we continue to lift up Sandra Murray, our cousin, your first cousin, who had a stroke, but she's on her way back. So we just thank God. Oh, we want to pray for Tanjanika Elliott, our new member. She says she's getting married on her birthday next Friday.
Right.
Amen. Being married is a big step.
That's right.
Yes, congratulations to you. So we want to pray for Tanjanika as she prepares for holy matrimony. All right.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a lengthy request, a tall order, but there's absolutely nothing too hard for our God. And so, Lady Kim, will you go ahead and close us out tonight with a word of prayer?
I think Coco wants to close us out.
I believe so.
Tonight.
She heard me clapping my hands like that, and so I guess she got a little excited.
All right, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, we bow in your presence. We say thank you, God, for allowing us this opportunity to gather together to study your word and to reflect on your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We lift up to you, God, those who are bereaved tonight. We lift up the C family to you, Lord. We lift up the Lifford family to you, Lord. We lift up all those who are struggling, oh God, with death. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just bless them and that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. We lift up Lawrence Roberts to you today as he prepares for surgery. We lift up Sister Sandra Jones to you, God, as she continues to heal. We lift up Eddie and Dorothy Foster to you, God. We lift up Sister Gloria Palmer and Anthony Hanley and Sandra Murray to you, God. We ask, God, that you would just bless them and heal them, oh God, and provide for them and make a way for them, God. God, we ask that you would look on Sister Bethy Matthews, God, who's dealing with much.
Yes, God.
We ask that you would continue, oh God, to just surround her with your love and your presence like never before. And God, we have many others on our prayer list, oh God, that were not mentioned on tonight. But you know their names, oh God, because you made and you created each and every one of those bodies, God, and you know all about them. So we thank you, oh God,
thank
that you're
you,
going to work
thank
on their
you,
behalf. We ask, God, that you would continue
Hallelujah,
to keep
God.
Us, oh
yes,
God, as we continue
yes,
to
God.
Go forward and do what you have called us to do. And we pray, oh God, that you would send
you,
workers
Thank
into
you,
your
God.
Vineyard,
Thank
God.
You, God.
We need workers, God, because we know the word to be true, that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we are praying to you, God, that you would send
more laborers
into
God.
The vineyard
Hallelujah.
Of anointed
Hallelujah.
Temple of Praise.
Yes, God.
Yes, we called out the name Anointed Temple
Hallelujah.
Of Praise Christian Church.
Yes,
we
God.
Need you like never before.
Never before.
So we ask, God, that you would continue to bless us, continue to give us vision and
Keep
clarity
us, God.
Of vision.
Keep us, God.
Continue, oh God, to do a work in us so that we can do a work in the community
yes,
that will
God.
Impact the world. We love you.
We
thank
love
you.
God.
We bless you. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Praise God. Hope you have a blessed night tonight, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed.